Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
Hello, this is Mike Tate. I'm the host of Small Time Leader Podcast, and I am so honored today to have as my guest Jacob Devlin, a military leader who is now leading distribution and logistics at Amazon. Jacob is a highly decorated Special Operations Officer in the United States Air Force. For 10 years, Jacob led special op troops in Kuwait, Afghanistan, and Iraq. In 2019, Jacob transitioned from military to civilian life, where he is now applying his war-tested leadership skills as a manager in one of the fastest-growing corporations in the world. Join me today and hear about Jacob's family of wrestlers, his amazing mother, a battalion of friends who helped him make the difficult transition from military to civilian life. Plus, he talks about his high school wrestling coach, his commander in the military, and a few people to whom he gives credit for changing his life forever. Well, Jacob, it is so good to have you here today with me, and I love your story, your military background, and your wrestling background, and all that. But welcome. It's a privilege to have you today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, Jacob, before I have you share about those small-time leader moments in your life, I'd always give my guests a chance to tell us what they're most grateful for. What would you share with us today about that?
Well, I'm really just incredibly grateful for so many things, so many opportunities, but the one that sticks out in my mind the most is my mom. And it sounds cliche and everyone kind of says that, but she immigrated from Costa Rica when she was 17, didn't graduate high school. Just to fast forward, she's got six sons now with higher education degrees, five of them veterans. But she came here for a better opportunity, met my dad, worked her tail off, started her own business, became vice president of that business. And she always kind of told me some life lessons that, you know, I call her now, and I think we all do this as adults. Once we get, you know, past that phase of ignoring them, we think back, we're like, man, she was telling me this the whole time, right? And one thing that sticks out to me that is kind of in my backbone all the time now is be you. Don't be someone else. Don't follow someone else. Follow who you are. In high school, you know, there's always kind of like the bad group of friends, people that get you into mischief. And she was always just like, why are you trying to be like them? Why don't you just be Jake Devlin? You know, why don't you be a leader instead of a follower? And that has always resonated with me. So I'm incredibly grateful for her, obviously for my life. She's a constant rock in my life. And she's a good 4'10", 130 pounds soaking wet. And she's got six boys all over 6 foot, 200 pounds, wrestlers. So she goes around like a celebrity, pretty bodyguarded, but she's pretty tough. So she can handle herself. But yeah, incredibly grateful for her.
I know she's certainly a huge small-time leader in your life. But thanks for sharing that. It's important that we honor our parents, and I appreciate you doing that. Okay, everyone, before we continue today's episode, I just want to remind you of my new book, Roll Up Your Sleeves. The book is on how to lead and live in a world of constant change. Roll Up Your Sleeves has a biblically-based storyline that shows you how to get through your transition wilderness to your promised land. Order the book today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. For more information, go to the book's website. The links are attached on the show notes. Okay, now back to the show. So tell us about, of all the people besides your mom in your life, one that really made a difference for you as a small-time leader for you.
Absolutely. The first person that came to mind, you know, immediately when you asked me was Robert Keenan. And it's funny, he just throughout my life has kind of been there as a back voice of making good decisions, having integrity and character. And I think I just saw a recent quote that said, you know, coaches, now he was my wrestling coach in high school. Coaches, you know, they can say that wrestling provides character. Really, I think the coach provides that integrity and character through his example and what he's teaching you. I mean, you can go and wrestle and still be not the greatest person, but that coach is kind of telling you, like, hey, these principles that you're doing, that discipline, that hard work, all that stuff that you're providing to wrestling, bring that out to your regular life as a man and be that person with integrity, with character in everything that you do. Do everything that you're doing to the best.
So when did you meet Robert and tell us about how that happened and some of the things he shared with you?
Sure. So Robert came to my life pretty early just because the gap between my oldest brother and me, I'm the second to youngest. My oldest brother started wrestling about eighth grade, ninth grade, and he was the wrestling coach in high school. So I was in, I think I was in second grade when I first met him, 6 or 7 years old. And he was just kind of a staple in our life because we were new to wrestling. At that time, we were playing soccer and football. We didn't know much about the sport. Our oldest brother came home one day, and I think my second to oldest brother, Andy, put a wrestling move on him, and he was like, what was that? Andy had gone to a wrestling practice and learned something. So they both joined the wrestling team. They were immediately really good. It was a good way to, you know, put out our aggression as big men. Yeah, it just kind of rolled through our family. But he was very close to us because we attended the same church services. We had breakfast with him all the time. And you have to kind of think back when you're a kid, that was my whole world. My older brother's wrestling and winning matches, and this was this coach that was winning all these, you know, county titles, district titles. He had turned around our entire wrestling program. And he was kind of these leaders of my brothers who were like my idols. So he just kind of always was just there in the background. And when it was my turn to kind of step up and join that team, I was just so overwhelmed because I had so many big shoes to fill.
Sure. And what were some of the things he said or did, things that you remember particularly that you still apply in your life today?
I mentioned before about integrity and character, and there's a specific instance that I kind of wanted to share. It is a vulnerable situation that happened. I made a big mistake. Just to lead up to it, like I was talking about, my brothers were extremely successful. My brother was a national champion, state champion. There was a huge article in the paper. All four of my brothers had been captains of the wrestling team. I was the next brother coming up. I was expected to be the captain pretty much immediately.
No pressure whatsoever.
My oldest brother was wrestling at West Point, one of the top Division I schools at the time. And then, you know, my younger brother, Paul, was, at the national level wrestling. And then Andy was at the Olympic Training Center. So there was a lot of pressure. That was the week prior to this incident. I went out to a football game. It was about 2 weeks before wrestling season. Had a bunch of drinks with my friends. Was underage drinking. Got in the car to take them home. Hit a curb. Wound up dropping off my friends to the game, but there was a flat tire. A cop immediately pulled me over. They knew exactly who I was. My dad had donated lots of money to the police department. He was well known in the community. And they just looked back and said, you know, you are so screwed. They knew exactly who I was. So I got brought to the police station. My dad showed up. They breathalyzed me. Sat there all night. My dad, I remember my friends calling me. Everyone was worried. I could see my phone ringing. This is when cell phones were just coming out, personal cell phones. And I remember my dad showing up and he was just so disappointed. He just couldn't even say a word to me. He couldn't even look at me. And my mom was crying. She was praying. Dad took the cell phone immediately and threw it on the ground. He signed the paperwork and we kind of left. I did get a DUI. I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months. At the end of all this, I wound up serving the suspension, the 6 month suspension. I was 17 years old and I wound up doing community service, and it's off my record. But at the time, it was catastrophic. There was a lot on the line. Number one, the Air Force Academy, I called them. They said, we're going to drop you. We've never had a person get into the Air Force Academy with a DUI. So my college, my full ride, 4 years was gone. my wrestling coach was the first person I called crying, Robert Keenan. And I said, Coach Keenan, I made a big mistake. I went out drinking. I got a DUI. And he immediately was like, okay, we're going to handle it. Thanks for letting me know. And it was this, the way he played this out made me respect him for the rest of my life. He could have definitely covered it up. He had a potential, you know, state champion or state place winner, captain of his wrestling team, easy to cover up, easy to, you know, hey, this family is well known. The athletic director ate breakfast at my house, but no. He went back through the paperwork. I had signed paperwork that said I would not involve myself in drugs or alcohol before the wrestling season. All athletes had to sign it. He brought me into his office when I came back to school the next week. So like I said before, that article was the week prior to this happening. The next week it comes out, Jacob Devlin, DUI, front page of the paper. And literally there was an article right before the picture of me, like the next thing to happen in wrestling. So huge disappointment across the school, obviously. He brought me in and he said, you know, you signed this piece of paper. I'm going to hold you to it. I have to talk to the athletic director to see if he's going to even let you wrestle. So at this point, even more crushing, right? I not only lost the chance for the Air Force Academy, but now I couldn't even, you know, compete to get into another school. He basically talked with the athletic director. He let me on the wrestling team, but they said, there's no way that you can actually compete. So I just worked my tail off. I went to practice. He's like, you're going to act as if you are the captain. I expect you to do all the duties, lead the team, but you are not going to be the captain. So I did that. I worked my tail off. Eventually, I was allowed to compete. And at the end of the year, he gives each captain a star. And throughout the year, I was doing all the captain duties, knowing that I had to just kind of earn that place without having it, knowing that I'd already let my family down and everybody else down and just wanted to work my tail off. And at the end of the ceremony, you know, we all got our varsity letters. We had a great year. He gave me the star and he talked about how I had acted as a captain the entire year, bounced back from that situation, showed integrity, showed character by bouncing back. So he fought for me the whole time. He fought for me to be on the team. Obviously, happy ending. I winded up getting into the Air Force Academy because it was expunged off my record. And, you know, a happy story. But it showed that, you know, he didn't hide it. He came to it face to face and dealt with it and told me there was going to be consequences. And it taught me a life lesson.
Yeah. Wow. Man, what I got to have a guy that models integrity like that. And I'm sure that's impacted you in your work and everything you do. So thank you so much for telling us about Robert and the impact he had. And we'll talk with you this coming Thursday. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.